All right.
Welcome back to hour three of our T-Touch for You online program, celebrating your body's infinite wisdom. And we are here with Linda. Where would you like to start this hour?
I would like to begin with putting up the nine elements chart. And I want you to see what we've created. This is our simple nine elements. Now, the majority of you know these, but I want to really look at them, some of them, as we go along in a deeper sense. And this is like the basic circle, the pressure, the tempo, the mindful pause, the connections, the body, the posture, the breathing, the intention, and the feedback. And then that's the simplest. Now I want you to see what we created from this, which is a different way, because I didn't want these like tentacles out so long. And so Sandy found a way to take this back. It's really interesting. So the basic circle, and because I know that we have a few who are new, the basic 1 1/4 circles, if you consider how present you have to stay to actually make the movement of the 1 1/4 circles, it is like a meditation. And I really want you to grok, to get this idea that by imagining the face of the clock, that imagining, and this is very much I love in chapter 4 of Michael Rhodes' book, Entering the Secret World of Nature, he talks about the activation of both hemispheres. And for me, one of the reasons that we're all doing this together, this 1 1/4 circles imagined face of the clock activates both hemispheres. Now, if any of you are interested to see the studies that we did on this with Anna Wise in 1984 and 85 in the library, which were Sandy, we'll have to send them a special code to get those in who aren't already in. In the library, there is a video. It's the first 11 minutes is me working on a horse, and I'm going to have that cut off and then just start into the mind mirror stuff, because what we found by measuring beta, alpha, theta, and delta in this particular biofeedback state of the awakened mind really gave us information about why this T-touch is so important, and it does activate both hemispheres. But even without those studies, what has excited me all these years is that we do get an activation of both left and right hemispheres. So in the imagining of the clock, in the imagining as we journey into the forest, anything we do with imagination or color or movement activates the right brain. And it's really worth putting out there in our minds, why is that important? What is the right brain responsible for? Feeling, intuition, connection, intuition, compassion, and creativity. Those are really, for me, this is one of the things that has kept me so passionate about teaching, particularly the basic 1 1/4 circles. Now, how does it activate the left brain? Because I want us all to remember, without that left brain, we couldn't be here. We couldn't figure out these computers. But anything to do with numbers or methods, and the fact that we have these method mind maps, and the fact that we have a 1 to 10 pressure, 0.5 to 10 pressure, and 3-second circles, that's all to do with left brain. So we get this constant activation of the whole brain. And that is one of the things that keeps me passionate about continuing to teach this work and to have you share. So let's go back. And does anybody, and if you if you suddenly get an aha moment or something that you get, I really encourage you to have the courage to wait a minute. I want to say something, because it's our collection of thoughts and ideas and questions and questioning that makes this time together, and validation that makes this time together so precious. And if any of you have like skeptical thoughts, ooh, bring them on. They're really important. We really want to pay attention. What is it that we want to, what do we want to believe? What do we want to understand? Because my passion is this, really understanding the science and the spirituality behind this work. You don't need any of that. You don't have to tell if you've got friends who are totally left brain. You don't need to tell them any of this other stuff. Just move the tissue in 1 1/4 circles. And whatever they need will come to them at the timing that's right for them. That's what I love about this work. So let's put that up again, Sandy. So you see this first element, this basic circle, carries so much. The pressures from 1 to 10. Getting a sense of feeling that we can actually feel a difference when we move the tissue on our eyelid. And because I've got complicated glasses on, that it's not so easy to slip them off and on. So I'm going under my glasses, which I normally don't do, to just move the tissue on my eyelid. That one pressure is really, that's probably, I use that a lot, because that gives us the one or two, the greatest communication with our cellular wisdom or intelligence. And so if we just have one or two, why are we doing all this other stuff? Like, why go to 10? Because we want to know what many of us started with. Like many of the people I know here, several people really didn't like anything less than a 5 or 6 to begin with. And I've had people in trainings who couldn't really feel anything less than an 8. So I made that big mistake many, many years ago, thinking that what I thought was right for that person is what they should have. That is really not what teachers are about. Like, when you're talking to your own body, ask what the different pressures, what does your body like? And go there. And if you have pain or discomfort somewhere, go to the point that, that hurts a little, and then back off just a little bit so that you take yourself seriously. You know there is something there. And then you find as you work that you can actually go back in with the pressure that you had before, and it doesn't hurt anymore. Such logic behind the feeling of this work. I'd like to know if let's come back to the group here a minute, Sandy. Oh, and the tempo, the 1, 2, and 3 pressures. So, but I want to know if there are any comments about this or questions. I mean, many of you have been teaching this for years and you know all this. What does this bring? And for those of you who don't know it, what's the question? Do you have questions? You're like, what are you talking about? Because we like those questions. Makes us think. No? Any comments or questions? Love the comments.
Linda, I have a thought. I know that it's so easy, I think, to just naturally assume that everybody will want what you want. And so if you like a certain touch or you like a certain tempo, I think it's so easy to not listen to our own intuition, or maybe we don't ask for feedback in a way that people feel really safe to give us the feedback, so that we really encourage them to listen to their cells and not try to guess what we want, or for us not to guess what somebody else wants. And that's I think the beauty of being in the moment with the circle and a quarter, because it keeps you so present instead of looking ahead to, oh, I know what I'm going to do next, or looking back at, oh, maybe I could have done that differently. And I think just being able to be so open to the wisdom of the cells, instead of thinking that we know what they should yep. do or want.
And that's so important, Debbie. And you'll find that, what I have found is that if somebody has had life-threatening surgery, in other words, cancer surgery where you didn't know if you would survive, or something that was really life-threatening, boy, I'll tell you, that part of the body normally does not want to be touched. And I've worked with people in our classes that one person I'm thinking of right now, 8 years before, she'd had life-threatening surgery, major organs removed from cancer. And ever since, she couldn't touch parts of her body, didn't even like to wash them. And so what we did was ask the cells to say for that person, okay, where, at what distance from your body is it safe for you to do T-touches in the air with the back of your fingers? Because if you reach out with the front, even from a distance, your body, if it's afraid, it will feel that. So you curve your fingers back, and that's where we use the back of the fingernails, which is the baby chimp, just around. And so you can, by having the body tell her, in this case, how close she would dare to come, in about a 20-minute session of just exploring, backing off with her own hand, da, 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 and then moving closer, she was able to actually T-touch her own body for the first time since 8 years, parts that she couldn't touch that had gone under the knife. So recognizing that it's really this feedback on that last section. If we can go back to that now, and we didn't put that up, we're going to have to get that up, because that last piece, the empowerment scale of the feedback, that is what we have at 1 to 10. And let's bring that up the next time, Sandy. But I want you to be thinking about this, because the reason we use like a 1 to 10 scale with numbers, because the numbers activate the left brain. And then underneath those numbers, we put a word that describes an emotion, how you feel about it. So like a 10 will be a wow. I mean, that is phenomenal. Wow is more interesting and perfect, right? You want that word. The 5 on the scale is like, it's okay. Well, it means it could be better. Now, if you go below the 5 to a 4, the word we use, the feeling we use is a That means like, back off. It's not quite, but I don't know about this. And even in your own body, you can experience this. Like a number 8, that is the word good. I originally based this on the judging of dressage. Number 8 is good. Interesting. And, oh yes, and the word interesting, that's a 6. Now, by putting these words up there, you'll see, like somebody, I'll be T-touching someone and I'll say, oh, how does that feel? Oh, good. Oh, you mean an 8? Well, actually, I mean, fairly good. Like, it's a 7. Or, no, I mean, really good. It's a 9. Ah. And by playing with these numbers on that feedback field, we can begin to ask our bodies, the fear of the tongue that we heard in the beginning of the first hour. Like even coming near that tongue at first may be a problem. So this is where you can ask your body, so could I get near the tongue by working with these tiny circles on the earlobe? That's why I took you there, was to get away from the actual tongue contact itself. And then maybe, I don't know if you have dogs or cats or horses, but maybe working with the tongue of another animal in a respectful, gentle way might relate to your own tongue. I mean, it's interesting. And then, of course, asking your body, okay, is it safe to work on the lips on the outside? And then, what about the teeth and the gums? Like, we are kind of approaching the tongue from... For those of you who came in later, we were talking about someone who had cancer on the tongue and is working with this now. So these imagining the T-touches and using when you imagine, like if I'm, for instance, working with the part of the body that doesn't want to be touched, boy, I curve my fingers around and use the back of the fingernails. That's the least. That's what we call the baby chimp. And if you want to know why I call it the baby chimp, and you have a little time to explore in the Tellington T-Touch Community Library, some of you are in, and I'm going to give access to the rest of you to get in there. When you do that, you'll see that there is it's a video taken through the window at the San Diego Zoo the young animals. And I'm working with a little orangutan named Louis II. And he had an inadequate sucking reflex. And so I worked with his tongue. You can even watch that and imagine it. It's so much that we can do with our imagination. It's really remarkable. So let's go back and I like somebody said, I forget, somebody was saying you didn't want to touch your belly. So if you like curve the fingers back and then start exploring, wait a minute, look at that vagus tree. Yeah? And then say, oh, that's interesting. Well, and this intestinal area, holy mackerel, that is essential to my life. And start playing with these ideas from a different point of view. That's what we're inviting you to do in this celebrating the infinite wisdom of our body. I would like any comments or questions about this. How has that been for you? Have any of you had that opportunity to find a part you didn't want to touch and then you go in with another part of the body or just imagining it like out in front of you like we did in the forest just now?
Linda Diane Giddings has her hand up.
Good, Diane. Great. Okay, Diane. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Linda. How are you?
How's fantastic. I'm especially fantastic when I'm especially when I'm with all of you.
I just had a comment. When you were talking about the T-Touch being like a meditation, I don't know if anybody else has had this experience, but when I'm doing the T-Touch on somebody, I find myself kind of just zoning out as well as the client that I'm working with. And you just kind of gaze off into nowhere, you know? I don't know if anybody else has that happen when they're doing T-Touch or not. So I can see where that's a meditation because your mind almost goes into a meditative state. And I think the person I'm working on also does that.
And that's a really interesting way to be, isn't it? And there's another possibility for those of you who have done TM and you have a mantra that you say in order to keep out the other thoughts, right? So one of the things that I do as in a different way, and this is why it's so helpful for all of us to talk about, wait a minute, how does this work for us? I pay attention to the quality of the movement around the circle and the quarter, and I really pay attention. It's like five quarter circles, five little arcs, and real presence, and I stay present in the movement. So I'm not thinking about what I'm going to get for dinner or da da da. No, it's stay present in the movement of that circle and the quarter. That's one possibility. The other possibility is just allow it and just get very quiet, like Diane is talking about. That's why it's so interesting to share what works best for us.
Yeah, it is. And even when I've done it at conferences where I've shown people how to do it, the person you're working on, I think even the audience can see them just kind of get into that little zone state or meditative state, whatever you want to call it. It's just fascinating to watch that happen to somebody. So
it is. And how I would describe it, Diane, is staying present in that movement. Actually, and this is one of the things that I remember when I shifted from doing the Feldenkrais work on people to T-Touch, one of the first comments I had from one of my friends, I've been doing years of Feldenkrais during my training and my practice later, and she said what was so surprising, when I did the Feldenkrais work, you go into a zone. It's just like no matter how hard I wanted to feel what was happening, I couldn't stay present. It was such a getting into the, you know, another space. But with following that circle and a quarter, my friend could feel it on her back where I had done the touches like 24 hours later. And that's what this wake-up call is about. Like staying really present in that body in that moment. So there are various ways, and we all have our own ways, but that's my interest. How do I stay completely present for that person?
And that's what was enjoyable about my job, because it was a high stress job. And if I got to the point where my mind just had so much mind chatter going on, I would just go back out on the floor and find a resident who was kind of agitated, couldn't rest. And I would do the T-Touch on them. And then it also relaxed me. And then I was able to come back up to my office and focus and get the paperwork part of my job done. So it was a win-win situation for both of us.
Absolutely.
But I also helped myself. So that's what I thought was really fascinating about T-Touch.
Beautiful. And Simula from Italy just joined us a little while ago. And that's the same for me. Simula, why don't you unmute yourself and let's talk about that. Well, Simula is unmuting herself. She has been for many years working weekly in an institute for autistic, mostly young adults. She works with all ages, but really focuses on the young adults with her animal assisted therapy with llamas and dogs too, right? And T-Touch. You're on. Similar. Yeah. Can you speak?
She's muted.
Oh, can you unmute yourself? Can you unmute her?
Linda, Simula wrote in the chat that she was having difficult internet connection.
Okay.
So I think she maybe had to leave. It says, get in touch with you later.
Oh, okay. So can you read what she said? What she said is this basic intention.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
There you are. Wonderful.
Go ahead, Simula. We can hear you.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Hi. I need to know just a question about people with cancer, because I have a very young woman, is a mother of a young child. She's fighting this situation from maybe 1 year, and she's doing all the kind of medicine. But I want to help her better, more than what she is doing. So I remember you say, don't repeat, remember your perfection when you are touching someone with a cancer. I remember, Linda, you say something else, but I don't remember really what exactly do you say.
Yes, because if I say to someone, remember your perfection, and they're dealing with life-threatening situation, they won't be able to believe it. And so what I do is remember your potential for ideal function at the cellular level, at that amazing potential for the cells, for the body, for self-healing. Hold that. That's it. Remember your potential for ideal function at the cellular level.
Potential.
Yep. And we focus on that. And then, Simula, with that person, find the parts that where she feels good. Focus on tea touching, those areas, and staying really present in the parts, all the parts that are working well for her. Where's her Cancer?
Okay. Start from, I think, breast. I don't remember. But she have a lot of bad things around the body. So now she have not only the breast. Yeah. So it's a very difficult situation. But she's very positive.
So your job, my job, this is what I feel, our job, is the opportunity to simply see her beauty.
Okay.
See the beauty. And, okay. And because we don't know, her journey may not be to live, but we can celebrate herself, her cells, her amazing 100 trillion cells of divine consciousness, source consciousness, and help her to come to the place of gratitude.
Okay.
And you have to do this very carefully, you know, when somebody's in a state of fear. And it, for me, the tougher the going gets, whether it's a person or an animal, the more I simply see the beauty. And what do I mean by that? The beauty. This being is, here we're looking at source consciousness in every cell in the body. Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Oh, I would love to invite Elka. I love what you wrote. Elka, can you, are you still with us? Elka. It's pretty late there. I wonder, can you see her?
I think she had to get off, Linda.
Okay, so let me read what she wrote because this is really important. Darn, I wanted to get her before she had to go. She's been going through a really bad bout of pneumonia. Here, I'm a horse practitioner for T-Touch and work in a big medical center. I show my boss the Facebook videos she showed from Linda after the accident. So she's very impressed with the results. She thinks I have to go to a special patient. The patient had an operation on her spinal column. My doctor said I would not like to work with the pressure for a massage work on her spinal. So I started to do T-Touch on at her backside around the operation area. The patient loved it and booked me for 2 more times this week. And this has always been a question over the years. Can we work on a person or an animal with cancer? Yes. We're not moving things as in massage. It's bringing an awareness of this communication and ideal function. You're holding that ideal function of the cells. And so over the years, we've worked with many people and animals with cancer. So next time I want Elka too, because she's going to be working with her for 2 more sessions. So that's a really good thing. So let us come back to the mind maps. And the intention, this intention, remember your perfection, or if that isn't appropriate, because of the state of mind of somebody where they just can't believe that of themselves yet. Remember your potential for ideal function at the cellular level. And I come back to those, that thought from Sir Charles Sherrington, Nobel Prize winner, wrote the book in the 50s, Man on His Nature, and the idea that every cell in the body knows its function within the body. And that is validated by the words now, 10 years ago in the book Spontaneous Evolution that Sandy wrote the title in your column by Bruce Lipton and Steve Bauman in his beautiful chapter on the development of cells. So these are some of the aspects that we want you to kind of keep in mind to share. Don't sweat over it, because it will come to you. And just keep kind of going back to the colors on the mind maps. Now, I want to go to this place of between touches, the connections. And I wanted to put up, and I couldn't figure out how to get to Sandy these middle teaching videos that I've done. So I'm going to take my sweater off, and I'm going to show you what I've been doing, a new way of using the Troika. Let's see if I can get this off. Roland. Oh, could you help me get my sweater off? Ah, almost. Oh, maybe I got it. I'm supposed to be wearing a splint, but like 10 days ago, I went to the OP to OT to get my, can you help take this off this side? To get a splint to support in the cast, in the sling, right? But the doctor wanted my arm open at a 60 degree angle, which means the thing is hanging down. So she makes this splint that wraps around my wrist and goes all the way up to under my arm here. And she made it at like 9:30 in the morning, and by evening it's gone from 17 centimeters around my wrist to 18 and a half. Well, it's really squeezing my hand. So I took it off. So I haven't had it on since. It's a very strange looking thing. And so what I started doing was just exploring little ways to go beyond what I would normally do. So normally, for those of you who haven't done a lot of T-touch, the basic T-touch circle, I imagine my clock here. I put my fingers lightly together. This is what I'm going to use, what's called the clouded leopard. So I use the first two-thirds of this section of my fingers. And I would move the tissue, not over, move the tissue, just try it on your own arm, in one circle and a quarter. Okay, my body wanted something more. So I started doing these little troikas. It's a form of a troika. So I do a little circle and a quarter and a little slide toward the thumb. Now, part of the connection that we use is the use of the thumb. Because if I just do that little circle and slide with the fingers without the thumb, not the same feeling. So I'm circle and a quarter, and I kind of do a little slide up towards my thumb. And part of the nine elements is the breath. We need to add into that connector the smile that should be on that on that arm. That's part of the connection, is the smile. Now, I just can only do a few of those, because normally I'm lying flat and I can reach across to do it. Right now I'm having to bring my shoulder forward. So what's going on, and you can help this to see it in its place of perfection. At the top of the humerus, of this big bone in my arm that connects to the shoulder, to the Dr. Frank in Los Angeles called it the ball, ice cream cone, kind of interesting. So there's a fracture on both sides of it, and there are chips in there. So what I have to do, and I think that's part of this little slide, is really talk to this body. And I'm using the heating pad on it and my beamer, because what the beamer does is activate the blood flow. But what it also does, so it doesn't do any good more than 8 minutes, because in 8 minutes that blood flow is going to last for at least 12 hours. So what's the point of doing more? Simple, because it puts us in the relaxed state of the parasympathetic. And that means a state of rest and recovery. So I run this for hours, off and on every day. But look at this, just try the difference. And Martin, I'm really interested because we've done so much of stuff together, is feel that little tiny, tiny little circles. And I'm doing this with about a two pressure. I have no discomfort, no pain in my arm. So normally I'm lying here and I'll do the whole arm, and I'm gonna get tech help later because I want to put this little, it's a 5-minute video I made, and it might just give you some ideas, because what I have to do, like my elbow, can I bring this up? So it's important that I keep smiling while I go to open this arm. Because normally I don't lift it to do that. I keep my elbow close to my side and then I open it in different ways. So what I'm thinking with this is exploring it. And what I like to invite you all to do is, as you find places in your body, like Catherine, you didn't like your stomach. Holy mackerel, I'll bet that's half the women in the Western world. So as we begin to appreciate different parts of that, reach out and just feel your connection, or any part that hasn't been so present in your life. And just send that out around the world through this connection, that oneness we have in this divine spark in every cell in our body. And reach out for all the people like who don't have T-Touch to help them recover. And all they're doing is various forms of wonderful physical therapy. I've had some wonderful PT, but adding the connection, the communication with the cells, that makes a huge difference. And I would like to know, does this bring up any thoughts for any of you? And after that, then I'm going to ask Sandy, I'm going to ask you a question from some of the stuff that we've been doing together. But I want to know, does this bring up any thoughts about your body? Any parts you'd like to introduce to us? Like, let's... Catherine, how are you doing there? Catherine Seeley, how are you doing? And can we just send some prayers to your son? Would that be okay? If you unmute yourself. What brought Catherine to the class is yesterday she was in my Saturday Zoom class, and her 13-year-old son has had a concussion and is having trouble with light and lots of things. And may we just hold you and him, just hold you in the light. You can unmute yourself. Sandy, can you help?
Actually, she's one of the people, I can't. I tried to mute or unmute her before, and it has to come from her for some reason. I don't understand why.
Okay. You can write in the chat. We'll pick it up in the chat if it's okay.
And she may or may not be able to write in the chat if she's...
Oh, of course not.
Okay. It was able to raise her hand though, so I'm not sure.
You can I think she's writing. So any other okay, so she's writing, I would love to have you hold my then. Where are we? Huh. Can Debbie, can you find that? I don't see it. Oh, okay. I would love to have you hold my son. And what is his, can you write his name for us, please? He doesn't know how the concussion happened. He just suddenly couldn't remember. And if we have his name, and we can just send Catherine and Christoph prayers, call in their guardian angels around them. And can you write yes or no yet? Have you, Catherine, been able to teach him the heart hug?
Yes, I think I figured out how to be unmuted.
Ah, great, good for you. All right.
Never on the first try. Yes, he, I didn't have it, he's with his dad this weekend, of course, and so I'm looking forward to teaching him the heart hug and the mouth work too. I mean, you know, he's quite emotional, which is why he gets bullied, because he gets, you know, they can push him really hard, so that's going to be really helpful, and I'm really excited about it.
And so have you considered doing like some of the gentle martial arts with him?
Yoga or what are gentle martial arts?
Well, what is ever available? I don't know where you live. Somebody, some teacher that can teach him in his area, because I'm trying to think of, what's the black belt stuff? Because I had a friend years ago whose son was in a similar situation and started doing this training, and it changed his life.
Same interesting thing. Yes, I have asked him about it, because they do have it at school, like Taekwondo. But he always says he doesn't want to do it, but maybe I need to just do the parental veto.
Well, on the other hand, he may have a reason, depending on the teacher.
Yes, that's true too. Oh, really Tai Chi. Okay.
A big, yeah. Yes.
In the comments here, there's Aikido and Tai Chi. I could look into those, yeah.
Something he has to, that supports him.
Mm-hmm. We used to do yoga, and I think it did help him, but it ended up being on the wrong day for him, so we had to stop, so.
And do you have a dog or cat?
He has a dog, and he has a dog. So
can you teach him tea touches on the dog?
I'm going to, yes. I haven't taught him. I've done a little bit with him, but not
because
a whole lot.
If
we're
he
gonna
starts
try.
To do these 1 1/4 connected circles on his dog, that activates his feeling, creativity, compassion, logic, it activates both hemispheres.
Yeah.
So.
That's great. Yeah, his dog accidentally died, and so then this dog, it was quite an amazing little story in a way. I knew that he needed one because of the bullying stuff, so I knew that he needed a dog, and we went to the, long story short, we went to the rescue place, and I'm like, Musqua was the one that I had sort of seen and wanted, but on the, you know, on the computer, on the internet.
So hold on, Catherine, just hold on one second.
Yep.
What I'm going to do is ask it's okay. I'm going to ask you to hold your story. And when we finish this section, I stay on for people who want to bring in other information like this. So we'll hold that and we'll hold them. The support of the circles and so forth. And let's come back at the end. And I'd love to hear.
Great.
Thank you. Other comments, questions? I really had this feeling this time. I really want to feel the amazing energy that we have of all being here together, because we have a collection here of people who have been doing this for many years and other people who are new. And that is the beauty of this work. Debbie, I would love to have you share one poignant story from the trainings that you're teaching in China or Japan or?
Well, Linda, the one story that has been kind of coming into my head today, and I hope I get all the details right about this. This is actually sharing a sharing. This was a T-Touch for You workshop that I taught in Japan. And just, you know, just beginning with people, teaching them the basic touches, and had people practicing with each other a little bit, and then asked people to share their experience. And there was a woman there who'd had an organ transplant, and she had never really felt connected to this organ that was implanted. And just in the, you know, 20 minutes or so that people were practicing, she started to get this feeling of her cells communicating and accepting this organ. And, oh, it's going to make me feel a little choked up. She was so profoundly touched by how much this integration happened in her nervous system and throughout her body. And I thought about how amazing this is, that this isn't even a focused session on her. This is just people learning how to do the little circle and a quarter, and they're just practicing on each other. And then she has this amazing experience that she articulated so well to the class. I asked her to write about it for us, because I just felt like it was just so significant on so many levels, the power of this work in just a few minutes.
Yeah. And could you share that then for, we'll put it in the group.
Right.
In this group, that will be fantastic. And Sandy, I would love to have you share some of the beautiful explorations that you have discovered by, you know, in those late night times when you can't sleep or other parts, because it's been profound after doing all these years with horses. And then we start really focusing on the T-Touch for humans in this way. And it led you to another place.
Yeah. So it was inspired by the work that I had done with people with mild traumatic brain injuries, and that you had referred to at the very beginning of today's class in the first hour, and where we would map the entire body. And I was in a place at this time where I was feeling more on the depressed side and wanting to connect with a deeper sense of what is going on during the touches, and how, like, an exploration of what does that mean, connecting with the cellular intelligence? What is that? What's my experience with that as I'm doing, using or applying T-touches? And so that was my intention, is to have that as an exploration. And I was lying down in bed and using probably a 1 to 2 pressure, and mostly clouded leopard circles. And I was going from my one shoulder, doing a clouded leopard circle with a slide, clouded leopard circle slide, and doing that up and over my head into the other shoulder, and then the other arm, and going back up and over. And I had a lot of places around my head that I discovered that were quite tender and sore. And so as I came up, and I spent, you know, probably 5 or 10 minutes initially just really taking my time, I was doing a lot of mindful pauses. And I think I started the mind really deepening in the mindful pauses when I was finding those tender places. And I would do like a 1 or 2 second circle with a 1 or 2 pressure. And then I would pause until it was like, I waited for like an internal prompt to continue. And I can describe that in a couple of different ways. It was, at times it was like, felt like something was resetting inside. And then after that, after we talked about that, we brought in the conversation about how that pause can bring you into a still point that craniosacral talks about. And I wasn't thinking that, but that makes total sense. And I know what that feels like. And that was the sense. And I think because I had had probably another mild head injury or something that prompted all of this.
It was another head injury.
Right. You know, that I was out of sync with myself and my cells weren't, you know, it was sort of like cells were doing this instead of connecting.
You mean disconnected because we have people on the phone.
Yes, sorry. They were disconnected and firing in off directions. So like a synapse wasn't going right across to where it was supposed to go is what it felt like. And, or not even firing correctly. Like I could feel just lapses inside. And with each mindful pause, it was as if it feels like now when I go back in retrospect, the 1 1/4 circle was like what you say is about remembering that connection into that place, that contact with that larger intelligence. Oh, right. It was like I could feel something, like remembering something, and then I could move to another spot. And it was literally like this mapping back across, you know, my head, I guess probably my head back into my body.
Yeah, because you were really out of it at that point because you've had two head injuries from your horse in a short time.
Probably multiple, more than that even. And the other thing that started to happen is I felt this enormous connection down to my feet and a sense of grounding in a way that I don't think I had ever experienced at that point. And this uplifting sense was so different than where I started. And so it kept feeling so great. I just kept going, you know, for about an hour. And it was an amazing experience.
And
that was such a profound experience that I can reconnect with the experience in 1 or 2 tea touches and find that place again. Like it calls it back up. It's easier to call back into myself now.
And I find those are the experiences that I find if I wake up in the middle of the night, which I love to do, and I start exploring different parts of my body, that's the best time is to do it. Because rest of the time, we've got so much going on in our lives. It's like hard to imagine having the time.
And I think another thing that I continue to learn from that experience as I reflect on it, and as you ask me to share it again, it's like more, it brings forward more information when I share it again. And right now I'm really seeing how I entered into doing it with a curiosity and a let's see place versus I'm going to make this happen and I'm going to feel better because I'm doing these touches, which is often what I was doing prior to that moment, you know, that time. I was like, okay, I'm going to do these tea touches. Oh, I'm not really getting it, you know, instead of just really in that place of presence versus I'm doing one more thing to try and get myself back in line and try to feel better.
And that's a creativity, learning to just explore with different parts of the hand. That is so interesting. And I would so appreciate it if, let's see, Donna, because we have many people here who don't know your story. And the thing I love about these classes that we've been doing since started last summer, we have people who've been practitioners for animals for years, been doing this work, but something different happens when we share this teach-up for you. And would you be willing to share how are you doing, Donna, and what has happened to you thanks to these online classes that we had no idea. I mean, could we teach this deeper work online? And personally, I find it's more effective than in a classroom. Donna?
Yes, I'd be glad to. This has been a great weekend. Yesterday's class was just great and gave me a time to really relive the past year. For 5 years, I was totally non-functional. I would be in what they call MS fatigue for about 22 hours, sometimes 21 hours a day. I would just fall down, standing up straight. I finally fell, broke my hip, everything. They then diagnosed me with secondary progressive MS. I couldn't really see. I could barely walk. I lost my ability to drive, which is really horrible, by the way. And I had what were like little seizures. Well, then we started these classes. And I believe the first one was maybe around September we started doing touches, and that's when Linda really set me totally free. I never did T-touches on myself before that for the terrible pain and stuff because I couldn't put my fingers in the right position. But then Linda explained how important it was, the circle and the quarter, and that it didn't matter if I use the back of my hand or the side of my hand or the, you know, front of part of whatever worked, as long as I could do it. And at first, because of the horrible pain, I couldn't touch myself. So for the first time ever, I did T-touches on the bed next to me where I had the horrible pain in my legs. And then eventually, I'd say within a couple days, I was able to touch myself very, very lightly, but I could touch myself. And then in one of our classes, soon we started the wraps. And so I had asked my neurologist, show me where the lesions are, and he wouldn't. It was more a thing of like, he didn't want to be bothered, you know. So I took the MRIs, and I looked where the lesions were and looked up, you know, things if I didn't know where it was. And I made a wrap for my head to touch all of those lesions. And I used the wrap on my hips about walking. And I can tell you the first time I did that, my partner Jim just said, it looks like you're walking normally. I wasn't fast, but I wasn't like walking peg-legged or anything like that. He said, I can't believe it. It looks like you're walking normally. And so then after that, I was able to control the pain, and I still can, and I can actually do it even better now. Today, showing another thing on every class, I get something. I can now reach places on my back after showing that today that I wasn't able to do before, that I feel is the source of the pain. So that will be very interesting to see if taking care of that means that the horrible pain in my legs, which feels like thousands of bee stings, so just to give you an idea of the insane pain. And I'm driving, and I am able to do volunteer work on a limited basis with exotic birds that I was working with, to the point where we just talked about me going to continue the work of T-Touch with them. It's about 450 parrots, most of them abused and or neglected. And so they have serious issues, and I feel well enough to work, which I should be going downhill all the time. Instead, with the type of MS I have now, the stage I'm in, I'm not supposed to have a remission. I'm supposed to just keep going and getting worse and worse and going to a wheelchair and then an institution, and I'm getting better.
Donna, this is so fantastic, and we're having these transcribed. So it's Donna Shugru, we didn't see this before. I've got to get S-H-U-G-R-U. And when did you first become a T-Touch practitioner for companion animals?
Well, I started taking the classes in 2004 because I happened to live in Ground Zero and worked right next to the World Trade Center. So I ran home, of course, when the planes hit in time to catch Linda on the Robert Stack show.
On Unsolved Mysteries.
Yes, Unsolved Mysteries. I was just cruising, and I love tigers. And Linda was working on a tiger, and I couldn't stand it. I got paper, pencil, waited for the credits at the end of the show, wrote it all down, the information, and then went on the internet. So I can say a wonderful thing for me came out of the World Trade Center, out of all that horror. I was introduced to T-Touch.
Incredible.
Came and went for a week's training out in Las Vegas. And I had, I'd say about 35 years ago, been stabbed a lot in my arm in a mugging. And the T-Touch worked great for me that first week. You know, and I was interested in cats. So I met a woman from Holland. You know, I worked for a Dutch company. She worked for a U.S. company. We came fast T-Touch friends and went to every training together after that. And I became certified officially in 2009.
And the thing it is just, you're, for me, it's just so incredible that all this time you weren't using T-Touch for yourself, other than that one, that first time when you must have taken away pain from the stabbing. Was that what happened?
Yes, I had pain from that, but I didn't really know T-Touch, and I was used to that. I was used to that all the time. It was truly the horrible MS pain that hit me all of a sudden, and I never knew that people with MS had pain. And they tried to deny it because they don't know what to do about it.
Right. Fantastic.
And so now I showed my whole MS support group how to do the wraps. And also, I was asked to do that, mainly because I told them about our class. And they asked me to next month to demonstrate the wraps and the touches for themselves.
Beautiful. And this is what we want you to do, is share it. We'll bring the wraps in the next time, Sandy. Let's make that a point. And Donna, I have a suggestion for you. Now just think about creatively. What Donna said is she's got extreme pain. In which leg is it? Like bees?
My right leg.
Right leg, like bees stinging you, right?
Right.
Is that what you said?
Right.
So what about talking to the bees?
Well, actually, I just started talking to my cells, but yeah, that would be interesting, talking to the bees.
Because you mentioned them. And so ask the bees, see if those bees aren't, like, they have an assist there for you to transmute what we think of the bee sting that you're feeling to the beautiful bee pollen. That right. What the bees do, how their message between the flowers pollinate, and start to see them in different ways and bring flowers. Just imagine these various flowers around your leg and watch them go from flower to flower. And as you do, just imagine this, find out what they have to say to you And just imagine with the smile, if you can, you just move your hands lightly and just imagine them going pollinating from place to place. And as they do, they're going to bring a new level of like flower essences into your legs. And that those, what now you experience as bee stings, play with that. They will lead you there. And what I'm seeing is like, wow, your leg, just like this, and there may be some flower essences that will be really helpful to you.
And I do have all the back flower essences. So it would be interesting to see that.
So, and keep a journal for us. Okay. Because this is where you can, those bees came to you in your words, and they're there with you.
One day, I mean, it was in 1 second, I had never felt a thing of pain before, and it was like incredible. It was 1 second that it hit me.
So, bee lady.
Right.
How important they are on our planet. One of the things that I would like to, first of all, I just want to know now, any other thoughts that you have, questions, comments? Anything your bodies want to say to us, to share? Martin, do you have your hand? Did I see you move your hand? Yes. You can unmute yourself. Martin Lasser in near Vienna.
It was more like I bought a horse.
But there must be something there, right?
but I have one thing I would share. Because you talked about the mouth work and that sometimes it's not possible to touch inside.
Yes.
I do it often with my tongue.
Yeah.
I touch with my tongue and make the circles with the tongue on the inside, on the gum.
Yeah.
And this works really good. Also, when people are really emotional and it's not easy for them, this normally they can handle.
Yeah, that's good. And if your tongue has had surgery, it may not be so possible. So what you might do is just, you know, ask the angels or the fairies or ask, you know, wait a minute, what could I imagine around my tongue that would be like a really wonderful protection? Or maybe you could imagine your tongue like a whale tongue or some other tongue that's really, really interesting, really beautiful, or maybe a parrot tongue. They have very interesting tongues. And just imagine that that is your tongue as you work around in that chamber, as you said, that dark place that we don't know inside our mouths. And play with this, and see what animals are there to help you in this way.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Martin. That's fantastic.
Can I say?
Please.
In the evening when I go to sleep, I imagine that that there's small tea-touch animals, fairies, on my body, working the whole night on every place I want or need to. So it's
beautiful.
A magic thing.
Absolutely. And which fairies are they?
They are like a tea touch with wings and...
Tea touch with wings.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Very nice. Very nice. Just imagine that. And before you go to sleep, you can count three blessings, as we do each night, at least three, and then set that intention. Join Karen Oberbeckler with this idea, Now, it might be the spirit of some animal who's passed over that you ask to work on you quietly. It might be the fairies. No, who is it? You might, for those, you know, some of you may want to do some work in your intestines. What I did, like, I think it was in the, like, 1973, I did this whole thing for months where I would imagine elves going into my, it was actually, I think, inspired by that movie. It was a movie where little people became tiny and they went in the intestine. Ah,
the Andromeda Strain.
No, it wasn't that. It was something like that. I don't think that was something like that. Anyway, I imagine I had these elves in my intestinal tract, all of them, and they were shoveling snow. So we got rid of all this snow in there. So I like your fairy idea, Karen. That's a really good one. I'm going to have them working on my both arms tonight. And one of the what I'd like to leave you with this time is, may I see a show of hands of how many of you are practicing from time to time the Hawaiian prayer ritual of Ho'oponopono? I see a few hands here. Now, I recommend, if you don't know it, that Ho'oponopono, it's H-O apostrophe, we'll write this in the chat, O-P, like H-O apostrophe O, Pono, Pono. And there are several books. As a beginning book, I love just the book called Ho'oponopono by Ulrich Dupre. If Sandy, if you could type that in, that would be great. If there are any of you who want to know the science behind these things, my favorite book is The Book of Ho'oponopono. And there are three authors, but the primary is Dr. Luke, L-U-C, Bodin, B-O-D-I-N. And in it, he describes the relationship of this prayer ritual, because, and we'll write this in the chat for those of you who have never heard of it. And it's around the world since the 70s. And Suzanne, sorry to keep you so late. Thank you for being here. I'm just about done now. So there are just four phrases to this forgiveness. For the parts of yourself that aren't working so well, and it's in whatever order you wish. It's, I'm sorry for whatever it is. Please forgive me. Thank you that it's done. I love you. And that phrase, I love you, is one of the most difficult for many people, because the idea that either I'm speaking to someone else I'm having trouble with and saying I love you, or that I say, I'm saying basically mean to be saying I love you to myself no matter what, that's a hard one. And what made the difference for me was a translation from the French from Dr. Luc Bodin, meaning I love you, I love that divine spark within, that divine spark within every cell in the body. And when I got that, I realized, whoa, man, that changes everything. That is a game changer. And for those of us who have had trouble loving parts of ourselves, it's a long process often of forgiveness. That is really helpful. And that to me is, that's what we're doing with this, celebrating this infinite wisdom of the body. When we combine the science, knowing that every cell is a genius, this phenomenal communication between the cells, and what is the spark? What is behind each cell? Of course. What else can it be but divine source? And that's the clue. That's what makes this like our connection to all it is through this amazing cellular wisdom that we're this vessel, this body, we call our bodies, this is a universe, a fractal of the whole universe, amazing, and divine consciousness. that to me is the reason, the secret I've been seeking all these years, how come we can reduce pain and release fear at the cellular level with this simple 1 1/4 touches as we recognize that divine spark in every cell. I thank you all for being here. It's so wonderful, Debbie, having you with us. Sandy, thank you for all we do to get all this pulled together, and thank all of you for being here. And let us close with a heart hug. And after we close off, if anybody wants to stay on and has more particular questions, I'm going to stay on. So let's just put our hands in whatever, just maybe search for a different way of making the contact on your middle of your chest, your heart chakra, or maybe go to your belly. You can do it just as well from there. And in the preferred direction, start towards 6 o'clock toward the ground and move in like a quarter circle to the 9. I'm going to go, in my case, to the right. And then another quarter to 12, quarter circle to 3, to 6, to 9. Take a lovely deep breath in through your nose. Smile and out through gently pursed lips. Do several of these each time. Just move the slightest bit from where you were before and try the other direction. Maybe today, the other direction. I'm using the back of my folded fingers in the baby chimp. And opening them a little into the baby array. And let's do another heart hug. And send gratitude into the forest to connect with all of the beings of nature. And feel that in our hands, all these connections. And another lovely heart hug, circle and a quarter. And this time, just send out to the whole planet, to the whole universe, gratitude to all that is, that we are one with all that is. And for the very last one right now, 1 1/4 circle from the smile. And send that gratitude in and just run it through this whole 100 trillion cells and light them up with gratitude and thanksgiving and love. Wow, for this divine consciousness in every cell in our body. And do go online and bring your thoughts and who you are, if you haven't already done it, your questions, your experiences into T-Touch for You online Infinite Wisdom in the Facebook. If you're not already in there, Sandy will help you if you need to help getting in. And I send love to all of you. And Sandy, please say, remember our class is?
Our next class is January 19th. We only are going to do one class in January. And I sent this out in an email. And we have a bonus of 3 additional classes that we are adding in April, May, and June. So that's April 18th, May 17th, and June 14th. Those dates are in your membership site. I've posted them on Facebook and sent out an email, as well as several times here in the chat today. And we will send you reminders.
And have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. I was at first like really resentful when Christmas carols and stuff started before Thanksgiving. And then I thought, wait a minute, I want that Christmas spirit. And for any of you who are alone at Christmas, just know that I'm with you. Let us join together in this. Each day I make a habit to just imagine I'm in this wonderful circle with all the animals and all of you reaching out wherever we are and just knowing we can connect at all times.
Aloha.
Aloha. We'll close this out, and then I'm going to stay on for anybody who has any other questions or sharings.